believe that God wants to do some greater things in our lives. The supernatural power of God is not weird. And if we only come to church just to feel a little better for a moment or fulfill some kind of an obligation or just come for the externals, we miss everything that God wants to do for us. God wants to have a life-giving connection with you and I. He sent his son Jesus into the world, not just for a one-time experience, but for you and I to have a daily, ongoing connection with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So come on, somebody, who do you believe? How many of you believe that today? God has given us and brought us to a place that we can have and believe for greater. And I want to talk about the power of God healing our lives. And I don't talk about this. I pray for the sick all the time. I believe God. I pray for people all the time for God to raise them up. And I'm telling you, when I pray for people, I used to have a friend that used to say, if you have time, can you say a little prayer for me? And I used to look at him and say, no. He'd say, no. I'd say, no. I don't pray little prayers because I don't serve a little God. I pray big prayers because I serve a big God. And I believe him to do something powerful. I believe him to do greater, exceeding and abundantly above what I could ask or what I could think. And the Bible says in James chapter 5, and I read some out of James last week, and he says in verse 13, and I'm reading out of the New International Version, he says, is any among you in trouble? Is anybody here? Let me ask it this way. Have you ever been in trouble? Let me see your hand. Any of you in trouble? Let him pray. I knew I was in the right church this morning. I like dealing with people that have been through stuff and aren't ashamed to admit it. Stand up and say, yeah, I messed up, but Jesus Christ came into my life and he changed everything. And now I'm not who I was. I'm not who I'm going to be. But I'm not staying where I have been in my life. That's the kind of church that Jesus is coming for. And he says, is any of you in trouble? Let him pray. Help me, Lord. Is any of you happy? Let them sing songs, and not country music songs either. Let them sing songs of praise. Thank God for James. He's here in the Spirit of the Lord. Is any of you sick? Let them just sit there and wallow in it. And somebody knows about it, they should be coming and calling on me. No! God woke me up early in the morning this morning, and he said, accentuate this. Let them call. There is a step of faith. If there's something in your life, something in your body, something in your family, something in your circle where you need help in, you need to step out in faith. You need to make a movement into the direction and ask God and ask others for help in your life, to pray for you, to believe God for you. He said, let them call for the elders of the church to pray over them and then anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the prayer that is offered in faith, believing, trusting. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence not yet seen. Some of you today, you can't see what it is you need. But faith doesn't necessarily have to see it, feel it, or experience it to get it. Because faith is the substance of things that are hoped for, the evidence that I haven't seen yet. And he says, let the prayer offered in faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Come on today. For he who cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. Let the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. And the Lord will raise them up. No individual. The Lord. Everybody say, the Lord will raise them up. And then he goes on to say, and I love this. I read scripture Thursday night out of Mark, where four men took the young man who was paralyzed, and they came to the house where Jesus was preaching. And the Bible says that the house was so full they couldn't get in. So the Bible says that these four friends, and how many of you know it's good to have friends that have faith for your miracle, for your need in your life. They crawled up on the roof, took their friend up there, cut a hole in the roof, and they lowered him down. And Jesus said to the paralytic man, "Your sins are forgiven." And all the religious people, they stood back. They said, "How could that happen? You can't do that." And he says, "I can't. Just so you know, I'm not only going to forgive him of his sin, I'm going to raise him up out of that bed." He said, "Get up. Take up your bed and walk." And immediately the Bible says that man picked up his bed and walked. What am I saying? That God not only will heal your body, he will forgive you of your sin, which is the greatest miracle that any individual could ever experience in their life. If they've committed sin, they'll be forgiven. Confess that sin to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. Because the prayer of an anointed, righteous man avails, or is powerful and is effective. And when we're believing God to do great miracles, some people, they live in two different dimensions. Some believe that if I pray for you and you don't get healed, there must be something wrong with you. And the other side of the pendulum says that God never heals. That was done away with. And neither of them are true. Because God still heals people. And I don't understand when every time that I have ever prayed for somebody that some people have gotten healed and others have not. But it's not my job or yours to try to discern why or why not, the time or the time not, that God touches and heals a person. It is God's job to do the healing when he so decides to do it. Because Hebrews says he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, I was reminded this morning about praying for my own mom. I'd gotten saved maybe a month or two prior, and all of a sudden I found out I'm 17 years old, and I hear my mom collapses at work, goes into the hospital, goes through some tests, everything, comes home, gets sick again, finds out she has cancer in her stomach. 2.5 months later, I, 17 years old, am picking out my mom's cast. Why? Why wouldn't he heal her? I didn't know. But what I can tell you is that 1 week to the day, 1 week to the hour that she went into heaven, that the pastor of the church that I got saved in, Reverend Wayne Muckle, went to visit her and said, "Alice, would you like to receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior?" And she said yes and gave her heart to Christ 1 week to the hour to the day that she went home to be with the Lord. I'm telling you something. That is the greatest miracle ever. And I used to, my mom would say to me through that week, she said, the Lord came and took my mom. She wasn't spiritual at all. But she'd tell me things like, "The Lord came and took my hand last night. It led me through this beautiful garden." She says, "Martin," she always called me Martin, "Martin, it was so beautiful. I think of that, it brings joy to my heart and my soul right now." I think of my own mother-in-law. She drives herself to the hospital. She's going to have a surgery done. And I get the call, "Mom's not going to make it," from my wife. My mother-in-law is 46 years old. I go to the hospital and I go into that room and they said she has just a few moments left. And I went in there and where they said that she couldn't respond, I took her hand and I would call her grandma. I said, "Grandma, can you hear me? If you can, squeeze my hand." And she squeezed my hand. I said, "Do you know Jesus loves you right this moment? Squeeze my hand if you know that." She squeezed my hand. I said, "Squeeze my hand if you know that he's forgiven your sin and you love him and you want him to take you into heaven." And she held and squeezed my hand and held it until she took her last breath. Let me tell you something. That's a miracle right there. But let me tell you something else on the other side. That there's been several occurrences through the time in my ministry where I prayed for people that have been in the hospital dying. And when I've gone in there, the family has already made the funeral arrangements and said, you can go in and pray, but there's really no use. The doctor said there's nothing else more that they could do. And I said, praise God. That's the time where Jesus steps in, isn't it? You know, I love doctors, but they're only, they even say practicing medicine. You'll get that later. And I'll never forget going into old Mrs. D'Angelo's room and praying for her and believing God for a miracle. She was up in years. Everything was over. She was done. And 12 years later, she goes home to be with the Lord. She came home from that hospital. I remember going praying for old Donnie Churchill. He looked like the Goodyear blimp. He was so swelled up from his heart operation. They said, the funeral directors are ready. I said, can I go in? I just want to pray for him. No sparks fell from heaven. No lightning bolts. I prayed for him. He came to out of that. I told his grandson, Jeremy, I said, I'm going to lead your grandpa to the Lord. And I went to where he was in rehab. And he said, I've been waiting for you to come. He said, people I knew came to see me, but I don't remember them, but I remember when you came. He said, because when you came in, just before you came in, there was all these little men in long coats. And they had what looked like hay hooks. And I knew what they were doing. They were going to take me away. And he said, I knew where they were going to take me. But he said, when you came in, they all ran. And he said, I don't know what happened, but before long, I came too. And here I am today. What do we do next? And I led him to Jesus. And I did his funeral just some time ago. And he lived another 8 or 9 years. I can't remember how long. God can do exceeding and abundantly above what you or I can even ask or think. In 2 Timothy chapter 4:18, the Bible says, the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack, and he will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. He'll rescue you, and he'll bring you into his kingdom. I sitting at my desk, I'm praying last night, and I get a text from somebody that asked me, they don't even come to church here. Do we go alone when we die to heaven? I said, no, the Bible says that the angels usher us in to the presence of the Lord. I don't know what God is going to do in your life and mine, but I know one thing, that he will never leave you nor forsake you. He'll be with you to the end. And he is here today to heal, to deliver, and to set free every person that asks him. Come on, do you believe that with your heart today? Do you believe it? And I said all these things to let you know, and I'm just going to be a couple more moments, that God is concerned about your soul more than anything. We get fired up about our body, and we should. We should take care of our body. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus said, don't be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body. You need to take care of your soul. You need to take care of what's going to live forever. Luke chapter 10, verse 19 says, I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. We love that. I love that. And I hate snakes. He said, however, don't rejoice just in that. Don't rejoice just in spirits that are submitted to you, but rejoice that your name, when you give your life to Christ, is written in heaven. That, come on today, is the most awesome. Because God does miracles on earth. But what he does even greater is he created an eternal destiny. The Bible says that he's gone to prepare a place for us, that where he is, we're going to be also. That is heaven. Because Luke 15:10 says that even this morning when we prayed for those who gave their heart to Christ. The Bible says, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over just one sinner that says yes to Jesus. You know, there's a party going on in heaven right now. They haven't even started. They got organs playing and they're jamming and dancing. The angels are in heaven over those today that gave their heart to Jesus Christ. You and I ought to too. So what's it mean? It means that God wants you and I to grow in our faith. God wants to take you and I on this faith journey. It's not enough just to be a church attender. There has to be more to our walk with God, or we're missing it all. My brothers and my sisters, God is asking you and I to allow God to increase our faith in every area of our lives. For some, you've never taken the step outside of your comfort zone. You've never trusted it. If you can control it and handle it, then you'll do it. But how about doing something that takes you so far out of where you live and how you think and how you approach things? What if you were to do something that completely caused you to abandon your safety zone? Get off the bleacher and get out in the field and start playing and doing and serving and accomplishing something for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh my goodness. I could tell you story after story. You talk about being out of the comfort zone. You talk about being in a place where you're unsafe and it just doesn't feel comfortable. And everybody's looking for comfort and happy. But that's not where faith abides. Faith abides when you're not comfortable. And when you're not always just happy. Some of the darkest, hardest places that I've ever gone when I've traveled overseas have not made me happy and have not made me comfortable. But I've seen the power of God displayed like I never saw before. And God takes us to glory, to glory, to glory. Faith to faith. Who am I talking to today? That you've just been living a very comfortable, quiet, secure life. And God has been just prodding you and nudging you a little bit. It's time for you to step out and to step up and say, hey, I'm going to do something great. I'm going to do something bold. I'm going to do something that I've never done before so I can get something that I've never gotten before. I'm going to step out as a leader of my home and my family, and I'm going to set a precedence. As for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. My children won't ask me, are we going to church today, Dad and Mom, or are we going to stay home today? No, because as for me and my house, hey, we're going to serve the Lord. My children know where my commitments lie. I just threw that in just because I wanted to. But stepping out in faith and believing God. Because without faith, it's impossible to please Him. You can't please God. If you're just living this comfortable, this boxed in life, come on, you're just existing. You got to step out. Do something great. Believe Him. I love these kids that are going to Laterno. I love the people that are going to New York City on the missions. They're stepping out. Some have never been. They've never been out of town before. And what a step of faith that is for them. Because you know what? Growing in faith means starting with a word from God. You got to have the Word of God inside of you. You got to have the Bible inside of you. You got to have prayer a part of your life before you can hear from God and know what He is calling you to do. I love the story in 1 Kings 17. I'm going to close in just a moment. Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead. I just liked how that sounds. Elijah the Tishbite said to Ahab, who was an evil king. And I want to encourage you to read that, 1 Kings 16, 17, and 18. Powerful. He says, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain for the next few years except at my word. Now you got to read the whole story there, and we're going to move real quick. Because Ahab was evil, and God had impressed upon Elijah's heart. Here's the move we make to get what we need to accomplish. It's not going to rain. And all the prophets of Baal, you read that story. There's miracles taking place that brought hardship to others. A woman's going to die, her and her son. And then a woman's son does die, and Elijah takes his son, prays to the Lord, and God raises the son up. But then at the end of the story, and I want you to, guys in the sound booth, to go to that 1 Kings chapter 18. The Bible says that even before that, that Ahab and Elijah challenged one another. The prophets of Baal against the man of God and the power of God's Holy Spirit on top of Mount Carmel. And I've been there before. Mount Carmel is just not a little hill in the backside of a hill. On top of Mount Carmel, you can look 50, 75 on a clear day, maybe even 100 miles in every direction. It's incredible. He called them, challenged them. He told them, prophets, your God, go ahead. You build your altar. Let's see who answers by fire. They did everything they could. They did their war dance. They asked every evil spirit to do whatever. Nothing. Elijah, he said, go ahead and build the fire. Bring the sacrifice. But he said, oh, one more thing. You can pour water on it too. Because my God is the God who answers by fire. And as he prayed, the Bible says that the Spirit of God came down on that sacrifice by the power of fire. And the scripture says that it licked up every bit of water in that place and just brought confusion. He says, who are you going to serve today? You going to serve the Lord or you going to serve other gods? And I want to say that to somebody here today. Who are you going to serve? Some of you are trying. You got your foot in both areas and it'll never work. You're miserable because you got one foot in the world, thinking that you got to hold on to your fun, and that you got the other foot on the other side into the Lord's kingdom, and you're wondering why you feel bad the way you do. And God says, I want you to give it all to me. And he says, how long will you halt between two opinions? Then he goes on to say that God spoke to him in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 1. He told Elijah, pray for rain, believe God, go stand before Ahab, and call it forth. And the scripture says that he does. Is that in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 43. He says to his servant, go look towards the sea. And he told the servant and he went up and he looked. And the Bible says he didn't see anything. And you know what Elijah did? And this is what I'm going to leave you with today. He said, go look again. Go look again. He said, there's nothing there. He said, go back. He went and looked. He came back. He said, there's nothing. Go back again. He went and looked. He came back. He said, there was nothing. He said, go back. He went and looked again. He said, there was nothing. He said, go back. He went and looked again. He said, there was nothing. Are you keeping track? Are you counting? Help me out. How many times was that? Four? He said, go back. He went back again. He looked. He said, there was nothing. He said, go back. He went and looked again. He said, there was nothing. He said, go back. He went and looked again. He said, there was nothing. He said, go back. He went and looked and he said, oh, I see a little cloud the size of a man's hand. And Elijah said, go tell Ahab to saddle up his horses because there is a gully washer coming. And I want to tell somebody today, you've been believing God, you've been trusting Him, but the things of the world have come in and they've crushed your faith. And God says to you and I this morning, it's time for you to go and look again and believe God to do what He said He would do. Come on, if you trust Him today, give Him a great praise in His house. Close your eyes. Bow your head all over the house today. Prayer people, come on down to the front here. The Spirit of God is beautiful in the house today. He's going to do something so powerful. Some of you are going to be healed of your sickness in your body today. You won't even have to wait for what's going to happen through this week and for next Sunday. Ryan said it in the first service, and it's so was quickened in my spirit that somebody was dealing with depression in their lives. And depression is such a dangerous, dark hole that the enemy tries to pull people down. But Jesus has come to give you life. He's come to set you free. He's come to lift you up. He's come to heal your brokenness. Some of you here today, maybe it's relationship in your home. Maybe it's you and your spouse. Maybe it's between your children and you. God is bigger than the issue, than the mountain that's in the way. He says to you today, go again. Believe Him again. Trust Him again. Go for it again. This is your moment. This is your time again. I'm going to pray. I'm going to open this altar up in just a moment. And if I'm talking to you today, if you gave your heart to the Lord earlier in the service, or if there's a challenge, an issue, I believe this altar is going to be filled this morning. You folks better be ready up here to work, because you're going to be working today. Hallelujah. And God's going to do some things that are even going to amaze you that are standing up here today. You watch the power of Jesus come. I got faith to move a mountain in this house today. Father, in Jesus' name, come on, even while I'm closing in prayer, get up out of your seat and come down here right now. Believe God for your miracle in your life. Father, in Jesus' name, as we pray, as we believe you, God, this morning, it's not by might, nor it's not by power. Don't come down after I close in prayer or wait for everybody to go and then come up to me. Come now. Faith, call for the elders of the church. You got to make a move. Get out of your seat right now. Those who are desperate and really need a touch from God, well, they'll make the move. They will not wait. In Jesus' name, God, I thank you, God, for your power, for the authority of your word working in every life, in every family, in every heart today. You bind up the brokenhearted. You set at liberty them that are captive. You heal those who have been beaten down and bruised. And you heal the sick. And I give you all the praise for it today, God. Be glorified in this house. Be honored today in the mighty name of Jesus. And we give you all the praise for it in Jesus' name. Come on, and everybody says amen. Come on, put your hands together and clap. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Come on. Praise your name, Lord. Come on. Get up on your feet and give Him a great praise today. We love you, Lord. We love you. Come on. Clap your hands. We trust you, God. He is the mighty King. Your master of everything. He's moving right now. If you need Him, you need to come. Don't leave. I want four ushers to stand in the back this morning, and we're going to receive that missions offering. As you leave today, I want you to give to the work of the Lord in the area of missions. If you need prayer before you leave, you come down here before you go. But as you leave today, sow something into the work of the Lord. Ushers, prepare the buckets for people to give as they leave today. I love you. God bless you. Go in God's grace today. Don't leave if you need prayer.